This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, of course, is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one centers around Travis Kelce. We're going to talk about this more after What's Trending, but he was on his New Heights podcast and was about as honest as you will ever hear a player talking about the possibility of retirement, right? And acknowledging that he's going to need some time to weigh kind of everything involved. He thinks he can play, but whether or not, it sounds like he wants to play. And so we'll play the entire cut so you can hear. It's like 2 minutes long, so I'm not going to play right here. But he said, quote, "I'm going to take some time to figure it out. I think I owe it to my teammates that if I do come back, that it's going to be a wholehearted decision and I'm not half-assing it and I'm fully here for them."
Next up on Watch, training pitchers and catchers report today in Surprise, Arizona. So yeah, Royals spring training officially underway. Couple of notes, this is usually what happens. Pitchers come in and then they tell you who's going to be behind the eight ball a little bit for the start of training camp. Alec Marsh had right shoulder tightness in the offseason, so he is throwing but might be delayed in facing hitters for training or for spring training this year. And James MacArthur, who we knew because he had a big brace on for multiple of the wedding photos, had elbow surgery to place two screws and stabilize a fracture in his arm over the season. So he is just now starting his throwing program, but he will also be delayed going into spring training. So those guys, like, maybe they'll be available by the end of spring training. Marsh, it sounds like, will be. But you know, this is the ramp will be a little bit slower, and it puts Marsh behind the opportunity to win the fifth rotation spot from the rest of the competition.
But if you think, they brought back Michael Lorenzen for a reason, too. I mean, we think about the rotation of Reagans, Lugo, and Waka, 1, 2, 3.
Which I kind of thought was going to be 4.
Most likely, I think. Yeah. And then Lorenzen maybe opens up as your fifth, or is your fifth. And then you just kind of go from there. And there will be other injuries during the season that suddenly one of these guys gets back in the rotation. As far as MacArthur goes, they might as well just take their time on the elbow surgery that he had this offseason. I still think it'll be interesting to see how he pitches this year, because we all know with Urshag and then also the signing of Estevez that they're not going to ask him to be in those high-pressure roles as much. So him as a middle reliever, it wouldn't surprise me if he's
an occasional sixth inning guy.
If he's way more effective.
The army rises again. The infantry rises.
He's just not the first infantry that goes right there. He's
frontline soldier now. He's not the it's not the back of it, you know? That's at least tough on that end.
Yeah.
I will say, based on MLB's Twitter page alone, the hardest grinder at all of training camp is our guy Vinny Pasquantino, We got his little look at the crib style video. Might have to play that later in the show. It's pretty funny.
Next up on What's Trending, college basketball. How about the Kansas State Wildcats? They won another one. This time over ranked Arizona 73-70. They've won six in a row. They sit at 13-11. We were talking before the show. We'll dive into this more in the 1 o'clock hour. Like, what's the path look like for them to get an attorney? They dug themselves a massive hole. They've got, what, six games or so left. They still have Iowa State. You know, if you run the table and you get to 19-11 or 20-11, something like that,
that should be good enough with those wins.
Then you need win one game. Let's say you don't win out and you drop two. You got to get to the finals of the Big 12 championship. Anyway, we'll talk more about this. But they've at least put them in play to where it's not impossible. It still is a lot of work to do. But to their credit, they look like a completely different team today.
They were dead body and cold 2 weeks ago.
Four of those six wins were against ranked opponents, too.
Yeah. No, they're the hottest team in college basketball. That Absolutely. Includes the teams that are at the top of the league in Auburn and others. They're the hottest team in college basketball, without question.
Also, last night in Lawrence, KU beat Colorado 71-59 at Allen Fieldhouse. Cody was not in attendance for his Buffaloes, so they lost. Not.
I guess I should have put Dusty the missed hoodie on, didn't
you? Yeah, that's true. You guys are both Colorado backers.
He's just a prime backer. There's a difference. Next up on What's Trending, Anthony Rendon had surgery and is expected to have hip surgery and now a setback in his rehab. Timeline to return is unclear. He still has 3 years left on that deal. He's owed trillions of dollars, I think, from the Angels. It ends up being one of the worst big league signings there's been in a couple years back. He's a third baseman. They're saying no timeline for his return. He could be out a huge chunk of the season again.
He signed a 7-year, $245 million.
He used to be an automatic fantasy baseball contract selection.
Do yourself a favor and look up his stats. That was a bleak.
So this year, $38 million. Next year, $38 million. He's done. At least it's not five more years remaining. Now, he hasn't done anything just since he's gotten paid. But, like, I will say, it's not like he's 35 already. This is why. But he's been injured the last 2 years.
He had one good year for the Angels in his very first year. For all that money you just paid, he hit .242 with a .369 slug. Oh, my God. A .369 slug and 22 home runs. He has been a very, 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 very bad baseball player.
$38 million this year, $38 million next year. Overall, he'll make cash, $228 million out of this thing. My His career, God. He's already $240 million.
His OPS was .667 last year. For the last 4 years in a row.
Lastly on What's Trending, the Ohio State has announced they have finalized a deal.
You don't have to say the Ohio State.
I just did that to see if you would react. To bring in Matt Patricia to the That's Ohio State to be their defensive coordinator.
That's a downgrade.
Al Golden, the CEO, Al Golden is now in Cincinnati.
Jim Knowles was their coordinator who went to Penn State. And he went to Penn State.
That's what's weird. You had Al Golden leave. You had Jim Knowles move over to Penn State. So it's just weird movement in the defensive coordinator world.
It's a downgrade for sure.
I don't want to work for Ryan Day anymore. That guy seems like he sucks as a person.
That's what's trending.
Dang.
Here on Cody and Goals. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour.
Does that soften it?
Matt Verderam, Sports Illustrated, will join us. We'll get his perspective. I don't want to talk about the Super Bowl anymore with him. I want to talk bigger picture stuff with Verderam here on a Wednesday. Of course, it's the lunch hour on a Wednesday. Jefferson's our official lunch partner here at 96.5 The Fan. Pretty soon, you can catch every game for the Royals and others and everything like that. We had a great time watching them in the postseason and everything. That is going to be the spot to go witness every moment at a restaurant that's proudly local. Visit Jefferson's in Lenexa or up in North KC. Cody, your neck of the woods.
Yeah, real close.
Jefferson's Wings Burgers. Oysters.
We've done a couple
some
of
good wings last week, man. Corn nuggets and everything.
Hit the spot. And, you know, like that's obviously the North Kansas City ones where we used to do our toy drive.
That's right. That's where we've done our guillotine league.
But every
draft.
Time we tried to schedule the toy drive, it was like a snowstorm.
Yeah. So well, I'll say we'll do the guillotine league again next year, and we've been rotating. And next year, I think the draft will be at the Lenexa location.
I believe so.
Because we were up in North KC when all of a sudden, it was a complete downpour. That was also the night that Michael Lorenzen got hurt, I think.
Yeah. And do you remember like the one time when it was just like
the game was super delayed?
There was just soot in the sky, and everyone's car was covered in ash.
Yes, there's a
fire
somewhere.
The draft's got a weird energy to it. I don't know what it is. Also, is it my year to win?
You're up, man.
Drew's won.
I've won.
Drew won the year before. My turn?
I mean, it's a listener's turn is what it is. Let's be real. So it's time for a listener to win this thing.
And we're getting good.
We got plenty of time to gear up for that one. But I can promise you already, we will do a guillotine league next August as well. But we got some time. We got some time on that thing. Let's get back into Travis Kelce a little bit. We mentioned the New Heights podcast during What's Trending. So everybody's been waiting for this decision. We're going to have to wait a little bit longer, as it sounds like he's going to take some time, as he should, to decide what his future is. He's got a year left on this contract, $19 million cap hit. He was talking with his brother Jason, and I'm sure, I would imagine, he's leaned on him a little bit too throughout this process. This is about as honest as you're going to ever hear a professional athlete prior to making a decision on their future talk about all the things they are really considering.
I know everybody wants to know whether or not I'm playing next year, and right now I'm just kicking everything down the road. I'm kicking every can I can down the road, and I'm not making any crazy decisions, but right now the biggest thing is just being there for my teammates and being there for my coaches, understanding, you know, that there's a lot that goes into this thing. You know, I've been fortunate over the past 5-6 years. I've played more football than anybody.
Yeah.
And it's because of the people that are in that building and the fact that we keep going to these AFC championships and these Super Bowls. And that means I'm playing an extra 3 games more than everybody else in the entire league. And that's a lot of wear and tear on your body. And it's a lot of time spent in the building. Focusing on your crafts, focusing on the task at hand, every challenge that you set up for yourself. And it's that process can be grueling. It can weigh on you. It can make you better, and it can drive you crazy at the same time. And right now it's one of those things where it was kind of driving me crazy this year. And I think that it happens as you kind of tail off towards the back nine of your career, as a SVP would say, is, you know, it's, as you see yourself or not feel yourself have the success that you once used to have, man, it's a tough pill to swallow. And then on top of that, to not be there in the biggest moments, knowing your team's counting on you, man, those are all extremely hard things to. It's just a tough reality, and yeah. You know, I think I'm going to take some time to figure it out, and I think I owe it to my teammates that if I do come back, that it's going to be something that, it's a wholehearted decision. I'm not half-assing it, and I'm fully here for them, and I think I could play. It's just whether or not I'm motivated or it's the best decision for me as a man, as a human, as a person to take on all that responsibility.
So that's from the New Heights podcast. He laid it all out there, though. I mean, he laid out all the elements. He admitted that there were times where it was driving him crazy, like just going through the grind of all of it. That happened.
He was trying to get to the finish line,
and. I still think when a player and in life, if you are in any job, like whatever you do for a living, and it's hard to make comparisons to professional athletes. Their earnings window is so much shorter, but obviously the money we're talking about is also a lot different. But when you are already saying it out loud, like essentially you might be burned out or it's driving you crazy or whatever. A lot of times, if you were in a normal job, you would say it's time for you to find something new to do. And why can't that be the same thing for a player? I think it's also of note that it's still only Wednesday after the Super Bowl. And
that'd be the worst time to ask me if I'm going to keep doing the job.
And that's why he said, I'm going to give it some time. And I think if you're hoping Travis Kelce comes back, that's the best part of that, is that he's not making a decision inside of a week of losing in brutal fashion. And he went, you know, right now, I'm sure his body is beat up and everything, all that. 3 weeks from now, I'm not saying he's suddenly going to feel great, but like, will you be able to make a more clear decision? And it sounds like he will, but I don't know how you don't listen to that and say, man, that sure sounds like a guy that might be done.
Admitting that in the middle of the season, you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. That is tough. And look, you got to weigh it versus how did you feel the rest of the time? What percentage of your season was, I don't want to go into the facility and do this again today. I am not getting the same joy and reward out of this that I used to. Because if it's 15% of your working year, I would say that's most people in most jobs, Travis. Glad you got lucky that's not the case for most people. But there are 15, 20, 30% of everyone's job where they're like, not today. Don't feel like it.
But I don't know, Drew and I, 100% of the time, we love it. There's 100% of the time. There's never anything. Yeah, nice. I don't know, Cody, you speak for yourself, man. We 100% of the time.
Rise and grind. We are like Vinny Pasquantino.
Rise and grind?
That's right, man. Every single day.
Not me. Sometimes I don't want to grind, you know?
Cody, in fairness.
I just want to rise. Rest.
In fairness, most people are not getting hit constantly.
Every time Alex steps into the building, I just give him one clean punch to the jaw. Like, I don't want to get punched in the face today.
I think the physical toll is obviously the reason where, of course, most of us are not getting beaten and battered throughout an entire time.
I still wonder, the one thing he didn't address, I wonder how much, and maybe we overblow this from the outside, does the way the game went down and just obviously your worst performance as a team, not just individual, but as a team in 5 years, how much does that just make you think, oh, I can't go out like that. I can't do that.
Here's a good way to listen to it. Play the audio. Travis Kelce on New Heights talked about the letdown of the game and then try to make some decisions on how he feels.
This was it.
Just wasn't our day. Couldn't find a lick of momentum. I'm kicking myself for some of the tiny, tiny decisions I made on the field. I wasn't the best leader that I could be in motivating my guys and keeping my guys, you know, calm, cool, collected. And I put a lot of that on myself as, you know, the guy that's been in the building for 12 years and seen a lot of football and actually seen a situation just like this in the Super Bowl. It's a tough pill to swallow. It's a hard reality, man. I love my teammates. I love my coaches, Chiefs Kingdom. I'm sorry for how it ended. I have a beautiful life, man. I have loved ones. I have the most amazing family in the world that supports me in everything that I do. And they were all there, you know, cheering me on and hoping for the best on Sunday, man. I wish things would have went different. I wish I would have made better decisions early on and helped my guy Pat out and helped my team, you know, find that momentum or that confidence. But, you know, I just have to tip my hat to the Eagles.
I mean, some of the effort from the team in the third and fourth quarter was pretty bad. But, I mean, I'll just be honest. Can we just admit that we're human beings here? I wouldn't have been trying all that hard either.
There's one play in particular.
We can judge people different. It's 34-0 in the Super Bowl. I'm not getting my ass killed in this game anymore. Yeah. I don't care what game it is. I'm done. We're done here. Like, this game's over.
There's one play in particular. I think you're right, Cody, in terms of how I think everybody should feel about it. But there's one play where the Mahomes scrambling, then he fumbled briefly and got it back.
Yeah.
Where he's running for his life. And Travis Kelce turns, looks at him, throws his hands up like this, and then watches him run kind of by him. The ball fumbles, and then he moves a little bit, but he just stood there the entire time. Where I think he was just over it.
Yeah, I think frustration.
Everybody was over it, I guess.
You're getting your ass kicked in a football game, and nothing's working. And you know that the goal was about the three-peat and winning another ring, and like that you're not even as close as you were. You weren't even close when it actually got to the moment. That's what's like. You were so close. You got closer to anybody else, but in the moment, in the game, you guys were as far. It felt like you were miles and miles away from actually getting that. And so that has to stink. So we'll see. That audio right now, I don't know how you wouldn't lean toward. I'm not saying he 100% is going to retire. That's not what but I don't know how you wouldn't lean. If I had to give you my answer, is he retiring or not? I don't know how you could listen to that and not be like, if I had to give you an answer, yes, I think he's retiring.
I don't know how you could go lower than like 60% yes at this point. I mean, and you know, I've always thought he was going to play out the rest of his contract. And that's if like today he can sit around for 48 hours. He can go on vacation with his, you know, his girlfriend and he can have a little
go on the beach somewhere. Just relax, man. Just go relax for a couple weeks.
And get away from it. And look, this is where it's not just, and this is not a knock, actually. I think this is part of what makes them great, part of the reason they were able to get to three consecutive Super Bowls, why they have been in five of the last six Super Bowls. But Andy's not the kind of coach who's even going to give you the vet treatment. You go play for Sean McVay, and you're Travis Kelce's age with his accomplishments. You don't even have to work during the week. You get to just not practice, Cole. You get to kick back, relax. You can take half a training camp off. They don't care because different organizations handle it differently. Andy, no time, no rest, no time off. Sorry. You come to training camp, you work as hard as any other person who is here. If you were healthy to play in practice, you work as hard as anyone here. And because of that, they have had the ultimate success. But what I'm saying is, like, with a different team, playing at 34 probably feels different from the this is the grind and effort I'm getting ready to have to go through. But for Andy Reid, you have to give it all. Every inch. And I think that's what makes them successful. I'm not blaming. There's lots of coaches who vet rest days and a million other things. We know Andy doesn't do that, but it's hard to hear that and not think that retirement is
quite
plausible.
It's always been in play. And
is that something you guys think that Andy needs to change though? Not fully flip the script where he is Sean McVay, but hey, Chris Jones needs some time off, or Travis needs some time off. Like, I'm going to give you a day.
Well, okay, a day is one. I think, based on what Travis just said as well, he said, and I think this is more about him than even Andy, he doesn't want to half-ass it. It's like he's already telling you that. If he's not going to be out there with his teammates at that same level, that same effort, then he's not going to do it. Like, I think if there's any thought that he could pull a, you know, for them to say, oh, he could pull a Gronk and just show up in the middle of the season, he's not going to do that. But, I mean, that's what that, at least based on that audio, if he's going to be in it, he's in it 100%.
Yeah.
And I respect the heck out of that.
Yeah, the Ron Swanson approach. Don't half-ass, whole-ass. Don't half-ass two things. Don't half-ass one thing. You got to be all the way in.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate that about Travis.
I don't think we're going to know for sure one way or the other till
3 weeks.
Yeah, like March 1st-ish.
That's my guess. That.
And obviously the league year is right around the corner.
It's around where his brother retired. You know, we did finally get the final closing of the head coaching stuff yesterday.
Took Kellen a while, Moore.
Kellen Moore got announced as the New Orleans Saints head coach. And I was really just asking myself, what is the simple question? Who's going to do the worst job and who's going to do the best job?
Wow, all right.
Worst job. Kellen Moore's got to be the front runner for that by a mile because of situation, right? Not even his own doing. Brian Schottenheimer's situation ain't great.
Jets don't have a quarterback right now?
I think Kellen Moore will win more games than people think.
Ooh, interesting take.
I think the Jets
this
are
is the Boise State bias.
No, I don't think so.
Boise State bias.
I don't think so. No, I don't
there
think
might be
so.
A little bit in there.
I don't think so. I think the division sucks, for starters.
I don't disagree with that.
I think, while Aaron Glenn, I already love what he's doing, but basically saying, I'm in charge there in New York. Stay off your damn interviews in the middle of the week, please. I'm in charge. I'm the captain now. I love that from Aaron Glenn there in New York. The Jets might be worse. You mentioned Brian Schottenheimer. They have more talent on the roster, no doubt, but I just still wonder that whole setup. Like, and with all due respect to the Schottenheimer family, like, Brian Schottenheimer's just never been a head coach. Why? Like, what?
Feels like a losing situation.
And this, he's not a 35-year-old coach that's getting his first crack at this. He's been in the league for a little bit, so I'm very skeptical. It's not his fault that he got the job, but I don't know. I actually think Kellen Moore will do better than people think, even though it's a really tough job. They got to give him a couple years. I believe, like, the obvious, like, who has the highest ceiling? Of course, it's, of course, both him and the quarterback situation.
What about Liam Cohen, since they've got Trevor Lawrence, the golden boy?
I think there's a chance there. Depends on how things
Trevor
mesh.
Trevor Lawrence, what's your opinion on Trevor Lawrence is what it comes down to. Is
you know,
he
I've never
be,
been high in him, yeah, so also, Cohen's going to be down my list.
What does success mean? Because the question's about success, Cody. I feel like there's levels to it. Is this making the playoffs, or is this...
I mean, you got to at least get to the playoffs, or you're not successful as
a
head
coach. I mean, in year one...
In year one, or just in general, you mean?
Cause
in their tenure.
Because in year one, obviously, I don't think Kellen Moore's going to the playoffs in year one. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, across 2 or 3 year period, I think he will win more games than some of the other guys we mentioned. In year one, I guess let's do that. Let's break it up. In year one, who has the best chance to make the postseason? Ben Johnson and the Bears.
Yeah, 100%.
I know it's a tough division. I will go there because the talent on offense is ridiculous.
Or Brian Schottenheimer in year one.
Just because, yeah, because of the talent.
And okay. The NFC.
Micah Parsons, Dak Prescott.
Who could have the worst season in year one? Aaron
Pete
Glenn
Carroll.
or
Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore. The Raiders don't have a quarterback yet. That's the question.
If they Pete Carroll too, yeah.
If they sign Sam Darnold, there's a limit, but there's also, I think, a floor that is higher than some of these other spots. Like, Derek Carr is probably the quarterback in New Orleans. So
that roster is also stuck. So the roster is not good.
I think if you made me rank out coach most likely to get a second deal and stay with his team, it's still Ben Johnson. And I know that that's the obvious answer.
Yeah. No, I get it.
But it's partially because of the talent that Caleb Williams still does possess. If they get any semblance of an offensive line, and he is the kind of guy who got the most, I think, he got as much as Sean McVay got out of Jared Goff. He got maximum out of Jared Goff. And so just as long as he's not a bad leader of men in the head coaching spot instead of being an offensive coordinator, that's by far the best pairing. The surprise one would probably be Liam Cohen. That's the one where you're like, offensive mind, finally get it
bad
together.
Division.
Young quarterback.
Brian Thomas Jr. with a healthy Trevor Lawrence. Like, there's pieces there that I could talk myself into. My biggest hurdle is that I've always thought Trevor Lawrence was overrated, and he was rated in that way because, I'm not even kidding, aesthetics. He looks like a professional quarterback. He steps back exactly the way he's supposed to step back. He throws it exactly like a quarterback robot. He throws a pretty football. It all looks good on tape, but there's like screws loose between the heads, and he screws things up. And so, like, I've always had a hard time reconciling like that.
I do feel bad for Trevor Lawrence a little bit. Your first coach was Urban Meyer, who was kicking players and everything. Like, it was a complete disaster.
Yeah, Doug Peterson, he was a Super Bowler.
Aaron Glenn, I feel like, how long are these guys' contracts anyways? Like, I don't know how
depends.
Long
Glenn's Summer 3, summer 5. It just depends.
I think Aaron Glenn, just to the point that you made, Goldberg, he's very assertive in the way that he wants to run things.
I love it.
The roster is actually pretty good. It's just that they don't have a quarterback. And we don't know exactly what they're going to do. Obviously, they're not going to have Aaron Rodgers, it seems. Who do they go? I mean, I don't even know who the backup is there. Is it?
There is no. The backup's not starting, whoever it is.
And draft-wise, it's not a great situation either. So who knows what they do there. But I think he has the potential to maybe get another deal, just because if they make the playoffs one or two out of the five, say it's a 5-year deal, they make the playoffs two out of the five, I think he gets another deal.
How about if he just makes it once? They haven't been in the playoffs. When's the last time the Jets were relevant in the
AFC? Ryan?
Play? Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think he has to be in the playoffs twice.
I think
he gets in the playoffs in year two or three. I think he gets an extension.
I just think he has a decent shot to do it. I think because the roster's so good around where if you get
the quarterback,
I know, but if they get the quarterback, which is always the big question, the roster is built very well for them already. If they get
Garrett Wilson,
I don't know if they get Jackson Dart, for example, who a lot of people think is the third best quarterback in the league, very mobile, really very good, very good college statistic numbers, throwing the football, very mobile, typical quarterback for this age. If he's even halfway decent, if he's Bo Nix, they make the playoffs with that roster.
Good social media, you know, just threw a dart, you know, the people will be all over that nonsense.
The issue is that organization as a whole sucks, and we're like, well, so did the Lions. Like, here's the, and I know you didn't, I'm mentioning the Lions, sure. you didn't, but I think what's going to happen, and I told you, I like the Aaron Glenn hire, but now people are going to say, well, the Lions were bad for 30 years, so why can't the Jets be good? Like, it's as if now that's just going to be something everybody can replicate. Like, that's the dream of Jets fans. Our guy, Vinny Pasquantino, I'm sure. They don't have a quarterback yet. Their owner sucks. Those are two huge, huge hurdles that Aaron Glenn's going to have to get over.
Who's the OC there?
Who did they hire?
That also is the big question.
Who the heck did they hire?
Because quarterback and the OC combo, of course, has got to be big because he's the DC.
Announces offensive defensive staff. I have no idea.
So that obviously I think is the big question too. But the
senior pass game coordinator Scott Turner, who was with the Raiders last year, North Turner's son.
Well, I mean,
legacy, you know.
Yeah, the fact that he came from the Raiders, I wouldn't feel too great. I guess.
But. Oh yeah, what offensive coordinator was going to make that quarterback situation look good?
Yeah, right.
Again, they can't turn water into wine. Sometimes, you got into an argument with someone earlier in the text line, Colt, for the same reason. We got to take a break, but like. Can't just fix every player whether they're bad. They're bad sometimes. They're just bad.
All right, up next, let's get to two players that the Chiefs are going to have to make a decision on and what Kansas State is doing over in Manhattan right now. They are the hottest basketball team in the country.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Here in 25 minutes, we'll be joined by Matt Verderam, staff writer, covers the NFL for Sports Illustrated. He was in New Orleans all week, media row, talking to other teams. I know he's going to be at the Combine in Indianapolis getting great insight. I want to talk more bigger picture with him, not even so much the game, the result, but just what is he hearing on the Trey Smith front, perhaps some other opportunities that are out there, and does he have any insight already on the draft itself and the offensive line market in particular and how the Chiefs could go down that ride? This is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. College football podcast, is it turning into a draft podcast? People are asking. Someone says, Drew, Jackson Dart is underrated.
I'm telling you, he is. It is not turning into a draft podcast. Okay. You can go to Character Concerns. We're banking Uno Cero.
Okay.
Take care of that stuff. It is not going
to
be.
Will you be
draft.
A guest, though, to help him break down the college players, you know?
Oh, yeah. And we're going to do some sort of a crossover, I think, where I'll have them on the 249 Miles of College Football podcast to talk about some of the guys from K-State, KU, and Missouri particularly who could be drafted in the early rounds.
Missouri offensive tackle is expected to go in the end of the first
round. I still think Luther Burden's going top 15.
Where
really
does Devin Neal go potentially? You know, Devin Neal, DJ Giddens as well. Could he be drafted in the top four rounds? Yeah, so those sort of things.
Bink potentially will be in with me and Drew tomorrow. He'll weather be in permitting. Friday. Yeah, weather permitting. He'll be in Friday for both of us. So you guys will get some, I'm sure, draft
I'm
insight.
I'm sure we'll have,
as well.
We'll have something there.
Yeah, I'm sure. We'll talk a little college basketball coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, or coming up in about 8 minutes or so. I'm sorry. But Trey Smith and Nick Bolton, I mentioned that with Matt Verderam. Who's more likely to stay? Like, I understand we might all think they're both gone. That's fine. But who do you think is more likely? Trey Smith is going to get the biggest guard contract in NFL history. Keep that in mind. You heard Nate Taylor yesterday say he wants to come back. But man,
he wants to be in Kansas City.
As I joke with him, like, there's no such thing as like a $9 million a year hometown discount or a $7 million gap difference on it.
Sure.
Doesn't exist.
Oh, I've never seen it.
No. Hometown discounts are usually, we'll structure it a certain way. We'll take a little bit, not
$2-3 million even, maybe.
You're not taking $7 million difference. So I think Trey Smith is less likely, honestly, than Nick Bolton because of the sheer financials. This is not who's a better player, who's not a better player. I'm talking from a financial end. I think it's still more likely, well, it's unlikely, that Nick Bolton comes back. A lot of my thinking is Spags absolutely raves about him all the time, how much he trusts him, all of that. Linebackers wouldn't be quite as expensive. That's why I think would be more likely. But my gut tells me they're both gone. And it's because I don't know if this organization wants to pay a linebacker what for that position will be considered top tier money. They won't be anywhere near what Trey Smith gets, but it could be what, $13 million a year, $15 million a year on the high side for Nick Bolton.
I actually think it's more likely that Trey Smith comes back. And I understand the importance that he has to the offense. And look, they haven't started sending out the like possible cap possibility. Sports Illustrated had their projections in like November and thought maybe like a 3 for 41, similar to that as Patrick Queen's deal, which is like a lot a lot for a linebacker. Part of the reason I understand why you're saying it's more likely is he is way more likely to get a shorter term, 3-4 year, that's really a 2-3 year deal that the Chiefs can kind of stomach, even if it is for way more money. You have to rebuild the offensive line. Do you want to rebuild the whole damn thing? Like, no offense. In a year, maybe two, you're going to have to find, maybe 2 years, you're going to have to find a new left guard. In a year or two, you're going to have to find a new right tackle. You were actively in the, business of having to find a new left tackle and maybe a new right guard. I think that the math still makes sense. Keep Creed at center. You've paid him. Pay Trey Smith at right guard and then write out your time on Joe Tooney so that the money on Trey doesn't kick in till Tooney's off your books. Then Kingsley is the guard that comes in place of that. And yeah, I get it. That means you're putting him on ice for a couple of years, which does, I admit, slows the process down a little bit and makes it less likely. I'm not trying to pretend like that's the case. And then all you're trying to solve for 1 year is left tackle, and it buys you a year or two to try to solve right tackle. Like, it just makes the rebuild easier, in my opinion, on the line, where I understand you got to do things different there, but I think there's a way to still make the math work.
I hear you. He's a great player. A stud at guard, and also if you're just talking about someone to have in your organization, he's probably about as good of a gets when it comes to just being a person.
I want him here, and it's tough. I want that with Bolton,
but
too.
But the projections are out. Doesn't mean they're right, but 5 years, $105 million. That's what you're talking about. And at guard, when you do have all these other holes, I don't know if you're going to have Juwan Taylor making what he's making and Trace. And I understand you can move the money around, but Juwan Taylor may be making and Trey Smith and then go either sign a free agent tackle or trade for one. Unless you're confident that the only way I could see it play out, if they're very confident that they have the assets and there's a guy that they think they can trade up 15 plus spots in the draft to go get and have a left tackle on a rookie deal. And they say, okay, well, our left tackle's on a rookie deal. Joe Tooney number we'll lower by extending him. We'll backload the Trey Smith deal. Mm-hmm. And then Juwan Taylor's contract in 2 years will be a year and a half will be out of it. That would be the scenario. But to me, the only way that you can pay Trey Smith is if you know somehow that you got the tackle in the draft that you love and we are moving heaven and earth to go get him.
I will say the biggest issue with my argument that I say, you know, maybe Trey Smith's more most likely, even though you and I might both say they're both gone, hypothetically, is there is not a logical in-house, as you mentioned, a guard in-house replacement for Bolton. Obviously, Tranquil can play, and so can Chanel, and those guys can play more. They don't play the same position as Bolton. So if you are walking on Bolton, you are either signing a free agent,
probably draft one
linebacker, or yes, probably more to your point, spending a second, third round pick on his replacement and then hoping he can pick up Spags' defense halfway through the season. They started Nick Bolton as a rookie. And at linebacker, that's way more common. It's like starting a running back, a rookie, or any of these other things. But you got to have a certain level of intelligence and all the other stuff that kind of comes with it in order to make it work. And so that's the toughest part. I can just tell you, like, if they don't sign Trey, who's going to play guard? Kingsley is.
Yeah.
Like, that's an easy, like, I solved it. You know, like, yeah. It's
and
not.
They still might draft one in the
fourth round or
something. Who knows, right?
They might still look for competition, and it might not work for Kingsley at guard. It's not currently working for him at tackle. But it's like, you know, you can still figure it out.
I'll say this, though. If
I just don't want to rebuild the whole offensive line.
If Kelsey retires, I would say the likelihood of Trey Smith signing goes up a slight bit just because of $19 million not on the books. I think that is why you do need the decision from Travis in the next 3-4 weeks, unless they feel like they can push that down the road a little bit more.
It feels like the left tackle and Travis Kelsey decision are the biggest things, because what you guys are talking about is getting, you know, if you draft a linebacker second or third round, well, what if you use one, if you feel great about a left tackle and you want to go draft, you might have to use one of those picks that you would have used on a linebacker to go and get the left tackle. So what do you do there? I think that's part of your decision-making in terms of how you go about the linebacker position depends on what your thought process is, whether it's paying a guy in free agency or whether it's drafting that left tackle.
This is part of the problem is that, like, I view linebacker as the running back of the defense. A good linebacker draft pick is a guy you take in the second or third round, you get 4 full years out of them as a starter, and unless they're an all-pro, unless they're this generation's Luke Kuechly, unless they're this generation, like on the running back, Derrick Henry, you move on. You let him go and you find a different one. Linebackers should be treated like a turn and burn position at the middle linebacker spot, not pass rushing linebacker, not guys like Micah Parsons who put, you know, play with their hands down in a 3-4 or anything else in between. I'm talking about just tackling middle linebackers. That's the running back of the defense, man. You get your good years out of it, you feel fine about it, and then you replace him with the younger
one. Sure,
model.
But does that mean that you pass on drafting one because you have to use that pick to go and get a left tackle?
That's a huge part of it, exactly. And I don't disagree with your philosophy, Cody, on like, hey, just it. You got what you got out of them and kind of move on. I get where you're thinking. I think you have to admit, though, as you said, you value linebacker clearly way differently than they do. Because
correct.
If we were to hit the rewind button to when was Nick Bolton drafted? 21?
Same year as Creed, year before the 2021 draft.
I remember we were sitting across from each other, and we had a little back and forth and disagreement on the pick in general. You didn't like that, not that they drafted Nick Bolton. You didn't like they drafted a linebacker and Willie Gay as well, Bolton and Gay, in that spot, that high of a pick.
Two years in a row, I didn't like that.
And that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. I guess that's where I would say now, though, if you're saying it's time to move on, well, then are you going to be mad if they spin a linebacker pick in the second or third round? Because they might have to do that.
Third's a little different than second for me. Right. And it was that they had to do it in back-to-back years, and they were coming off a bad contract to Hitchens, certainly.
Yeah. I would say admit both those picks ended up being really, really good for this organization.
What I said. They're essentially like, was Willie Gay a star here? No. Did they win some Super Bowls because he was a perfectly fine NFL player that they could eventually walk away from him? Yes. Mm-hmm. Is Bolton a better linebacker than Willie Gay? Yes. But is he better enough to justify a contract? My argument be no. Look, and we do this with corner because, like, Dusty was coming out to the bullpen earlier and he was saying, like, you know, like, are you sure they're going to pay Trent McDuffie because they didn't pay Ward and they didn't pay Snead? And you and I had the same reaction. There's a quality difference here.
McDuffie's better than Ward or Snead were.
Yeah, there's a quality difference. There's a gap in talent and in play that justifies the end, in my opinion. The difference between Gay and Bolton is there is a gap, but I don't think it's as big of a gap as the one we're just talking about here with corner. And so, like, you got to kind of make those decisions. Look, money is always dependent. Go, there's a number in which I'm okay with a re-sign of Nick Bolton. There's a number in which I'm okay with a re-sign of Trey Smith. There's numbers in which I'm not. And so, like, I understand that, like, there is a financial breakpoint. But, yeah, for the most part, if you told me Nick Bolton's gone, but they spend a third-round pick replacing him with linebacker, yeah, that sounds fine. Because then they'll use his money on somebody else.
I think for Bolton, it sounds like financially it's the gap that exists between maybe the Chiefs and his side. You know, it's $12 million versus $15 versus $16 million. And like, where's everybody at on that? I can't remember what publication it was. I remember in August, guys, we were quoting an article, an interview he did. And it wasn't the 33rd team. I don't think we'd have to go back and look. Anyway, he did an interview. It was a print interview. And he was quoted as saying something along the lines of like, yeah, I'm not worried about the contract, but it wasn't the same of like a normal player where you're like, oh, my team's handling that. We'll work that out in the offseason. It was basically an acknowledgement that like the contract's not happening. I got to find the, you know what I'm talking about. I got to find the exact
quote. We're not close. Talk to you later.
And I remember we said that day, we're like, oh, that sounds like a guy that knows he's not coming back.
He basically said, we'll take care of it when the season's done along those lines. Yeah.
That might be. And again, if you made me guess on both, I think they're both less than 50% chance. And Travis Kelce's decision probably impacts both in a lot of ways because of the finances.
Here it is. So this was from June. Actually, I think it was our guy, Josh Briscoe, that wrote it.
Nice.
I don't know if he either wrote it or he at least summarized it. Either way, it's the article I'm reading is from Briscoe. It says the contract headline. The headline was Nick Bolton on contract situation. Don't want to talk extension. Not looking to sign before the 2024 season. And I'll say this, unless your linebacker's not usually banking on themselves as if, the Draft Network. Thank you. Draft Network. Bolton discussed his contract mindset when asked if he is hoping, asked Bolton if he is hoping to negotiate an extension before the season. Honestly, no. I don't want to talk extension before training camp.
You only say that if they're not
offering one goal enough. In mind right now. That's being the first team ever to three-peat. That's our mindset. I'll let my contract handle itself after our season. I want to just go out there and play the best football I can play. I'm hoping at the end of the year we can say we're the first team to ever win three in a row. But remember, like the phrasing of not wanting to talk about an extension before training camp, it's not a normal thing. You could like we've heard players say, "Oh, I'm gonna play this." It's one thing to say I'm gonna play the season and not worry about it, but way before training camp starts, if the Chiefs wanted to sign you to an extension, you're not saying no.
Correct. If the money's right, you're not saying no. They want to sign you to an extension below market value, you might. But if they were offering you the money you thought you deserved, you're not just being like, "No,
do we
I
know
hope
that
we,
they offered something."
I hope we don't talk about my. Could you imagine if I said that about my same job, Gold? Be like, "Hey, Cody, are you hoping that Odyssey offers you a new contract to remain the midday host?" No. I hope they never call. Like, that doesn't make any sense, again, unless they're not offering an amount.
Do we know
sense.
They even offered him anything, though? Because
I'm sure they kick some numbers around. I'd be surprised they didn't kick some numbers around.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, text line 913-586-7965. As you guys know, we live stream the show, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. We'll all be over there as well. Please like, subscribe, comment. We'll chat with you over there. I try to stay up to date on the Twitch and the YouTube chats. Question I have today comes via a social media complaint. As you know, Gold, I've been waiting on my car for a billion years. I may never get it back. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
I think I will get it back. They actually told me they're reassembling it. They did not give an estimate for how long it takes to reassemble it. Like, if this is like a long Lego, a long Lego-like project, and it's going to take a week to put it together, or if they're going to have this bad boy dusted off this afternoon, that is unclear. But the question I have for you is something you and I have talked about, the difference between a utopian world and the way the world exists, and whether or not you're okay with this being the way the world might exist. Because you and I got into a big thing with listeners yesterday where I told them, and so did you, that what the Cleveland Guardians are offering from a streaming platform is exactly the same. And we had to go back and forth in all of this. And then what I saw here was like where you and I get into these debates a little bit where, hey, this is the life. So Jeep owners are complaining.
All right.
Because what has taken place in newer model Jeep cars is they're getting a pop-up ad when they stop. So when they come to a stop, it's saying, hey, purchase peace of mind. Sign up for this Jeep Care program. You can't turn it off unless you purchase it. Pops up time you come to a full stop. So the question I have for you today is, are you going to be accepting of the eventual pop-up ads that are going to exist in your car, or do you think this is something we should
fight? Wait, it just pops up on their dash?
Uh-huh. Pops up on the in-dash thing. Pops up on the in-dash thing. Says, Mopar Vehicle Protection Maximum Care Plans are factory-backed and offer you peace of mind.
Do people realize
in case of mechanical breakdown, you cannot turn it off. It is not an option to turn it off. It pops up when you come to a stop while you're driving in traffic.
Don't people realize that you're supposed to be paying attention, you know, and all those other things, and not looking at the dash?
So I guess that's the question.
Here we go.
If you came to a stoplight and it said, come buy a KFC six-pack, you got a problem, or are you cool with this?
No.
I'll answer the question. In reference to the Jeep thing, I just looked it up. They have acknowledged it's a software glitch, and just like it happened in 2015, something similar happened. There was also a patch in 2018. They said this is a temporary software glitch affected the ability to instantly opt out in a few isolated cases, though instant opt-out is the standard for all our in-vehicle messages. Our team had already identified and corrected the error. So that's in addition to the Jeep thing. It's being corrected.
Still,
as far as your
crazy
question of like pop-up ads in cars, look, if they would pay you a certain price, like let's say it's just a company, like your car, for whatever reason, like you allow them, you either have to pay a monthly fee.
You're saying you want to be paid for it.
Yeah, but that's not, you know, that's probably not what will happen.
Like, because right now, like new cars are already this way. So like I currently have like the ability to get on an app for my car and remote start it or any of these other things. But I have to pay for that app after like 2 years or 3 years of having it. For any, like, you know, like the dealership that I bought it from, Volkswagen Lee Summit, they obviously cover a couple of years, which is nice. But like 4 years from now, if I want to be able to remote start my car from my phone, not my keys, I'll have to pay for the app. Yeah. If you're putting ads in my car, I'm with you. It better come at a reduction of the cost of the car, or I better be getting paid per view or something.
That's different than like, hey, there's a glitch where it's reminding you to get your oil changed, and the warning won't go away because there's
a
glitch.
This is buy an extended warranty. Yeah.
It sounds like it actually is a glitch.
They want to sell
to you once. Maybe it's a glitch that you can't make it go away, but
that's what they're saying. Yeah, they're saying they're not denying that it pops up. They're saying you should be able to easily opt out, and there's a software glitch that's not letting you opt out.
I know that we have to pay more for content and all these other things and all this other stuff. You've invested. You're investing, Cody.
I bought this thing.
You're investing, I don't know how much a Tiguan is, but let's say $30,000. You're investing $30,000 in this vehicle.
More than that.
You should have the app for free. You should get the app for free for the life that you have the car. There should be no subscription service after
service. That's not
Mercedes
the vehicle.
Was doing it like where you had to pay for like the heated seats are installed in your car, but you can't turn them on unless you pay the monthly subscription.
That is BS to me.
I agree with you.
That is so BS.
You're locking out heated seats because I don't pay them.
That is total BS.
We did talk about this thing before, and I swear I'm not just defending every auto manufacturer. I'm
Gold's big business. Listen to this guy.
All I'm saying is, go back even 10 years ago. Let's just stick with the Jeep theme or whatever. Depending on the trim level of the vehicle you buy, there's an increase in cost. And if you go to the higher trim, it might have, back in the day, heated seats. Now it's more and more standard, but you get the point. Like,
yeah,
it would have had heated seats, or it had a blind spot. You paid extra for that based on the trim level, correct? Right? We all agree?
But yes. Is that a subscription service?
I'm not arguing.
So that part.
So that existed.
I'll continue to listen.
So now in a lot of electric vehicles, I'll use the, you know, Tesla for an example or whatever. If you want to have a certain thing unlocked, you pay extra for that. Like, the vehicle's capable of it, but you pay extra. How is that any different than paying an extra $8,000 when you buy the car for a higher trim level? How is it any different?
My argument is that I should be willing to pay for the heated seats then. You should not be allowed to charge me for my heated seats once a month in perpetuity forever.
Years after you bought the car.
That is my offense. If I'd say, let's just say it's a part of the loan.
How much they charge?
Once the car is paid off, you can't be charging me anymore for my heated seats.
Yeah,
do we know if that's the case? If you buy the car outright, do we know if you're not financing it? I don't know the answer.
It's all part of like their system. Like, it's part of the app maintenance or anything else, I'm sure, is Volkswagen.
If you bought the car outright, if anything, you're saving. You spend less money, but I feel like they would still make you do the subscription service. If you buy it outright, you don't have interest.
Yeah, people are bringing up like OnStar and stuff. Like, that's a separate service. I get why they charge you for that monthly. That is a separate company that is operating that.
Like, I agree. That is a different service. Someone's just like, just trade that car in the day that thing runs out. I'm not a big... Alex and I are both, and I can't speak for Drew because I've only seen him with the one car. I'm typically a ride it into the ground type. The last car had like 240 when I traded it in. Yours was pretty close to that. So
yeah, we're at 220 something. So, this is also the only car I've had, Cody.
That's impressive.
So I don't know if I'm someone that's just in this circumstance. This is what I bought the car
in
2013.
But I mean, if you do that once, I don't think you're like getting the next car and you're like, I'm going to trade it in after 3 years.
I don't know.
I think if you ride one out for 12 years, you're not going to be a trade-in type, maybe a lease type.
It depends.
So somebody from the 913 says they work at BMW and microtransactions are now rampant in cars for heated seats and other things.
Nuts.
They said their car comes with navigation, but you have to spend $200 a year to be able to use it with other features. That is crap. They're just robbing you of $200.
Like, I actually would rather pay it up front.
Yeah,
let's just say the life of the loan is 100%. They say it's $1,000 more for the car and I get navigation forever. Fine.
Agreed.
But like, 100%. Don't be charging me $200 for the rest of my life for it. That's crazy.
Yeah, I get it. I guess I still think if you're looking at, let's say, like EX versus LX, and the LX is $7,500 more, and you're charging me $200 a year, how many years is it taking to get to 7,000? Okay, we can do some simple math. It's not as crazy as you guys think.
Yeah, but if you have to do the 200 or the 7,500 plus the 200
No, my point is you're not doing the 7,500 on top of it anymore. They're not like that. There isn't the different trim level for in this example.
I still don't need the extra 200. I don't need the extra 200 a month. It should just come with the car. If you're financing the car or buying the car, you should get it.
Well,
if you lease it, maybe. You,
I mean, the other part is
the charge.
If
you're leasing,
if we're really just like making this simpler than what reality is, then you know, there's also the simple solution, which is if that's the car that's microtransaction, how about you don't buy that car, you go buy a different car. If it's that big of an issue for you, you know, you buy the 100,000 Mercedes, I don't think you're bitching about $25 a month. Just saying.
Probably not. But I'm saying like microtransactions are coming for us all.
I hear you.
You're going to be driving in your new car 2 years from now. You're going to go pick up your new car.
I'm going to go down to Max Motors. That's right.
And you're going to be driving on the road and you're going to get to a stoplight. It's going to be like, hey, 2-for-1 chalupas at Taco Bell around the corner. You want one? You know? And you're like, what the hell is this?
Yes, please. By the way, yes. Yes, I do.
Or all of a sudden, 2 years down the road, you stop it. You know, it's freezing cold outside. You want the heated seats and they're not working.
Like, what the heck is that going?
By the way, it's $20.99 a month. Come on now.
I paid for the in-car internet when we were getting ready to get like a super long road trip.
Right after the road trip?
Yeah, but I paid for a month when we were getting
ready. That makes sense. You could also do that with the other. Don't pay for the heated seats in summertime. Cancel that monthly in August. Fire it back up in December.
Yeah, well, for sure. I would wait.
All right, up next, Matt Vert. We're late again. We did this again.
Damn it.
Not a good day for that. You know what? It's a snow day for a lot of people, so I'll take it. Up next, Matt Verteram, Sports Illustrated, is going to join us. We'll get his perspective on the Chiefs cap situation.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget.
Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.